Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Simon, if you haven't met me before, and I'll be speaking God's Word this morning. I'm the youth and evening church pastor here at Eaglevale Anglican, but whilst Craig's away, I get to speak at the AM service, which is pretty exciting, and look forward to bringing God's Word to you this morning. But I need God's help to do that, so please pray with me now. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day you have made. We thank you for giving us air to breathe and lives to live. We thank you that you have drawn us here this morning to praise you and worship your name and sit under your word. And Heavenly Father, I pray and ask now that you'll help me to speak truthfully and accurately from your word. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a man had two sons. And the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So the father divided his property between the two sons. Now, not long after this, the younger son gathered together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered all his wealth on wild living. Then he had nothing. Then there was a severe famine in the land, and he became in great need. So he sold himself as a citizen of that country. And then he was sent to feed the pigs in the field. And whilst he was feeding the pigs, his stomach longed to eat the pods that the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. And then he came to his senses and he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will go back to my father and I will say to him, 'I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he began to go back to his father. Now, whilst he was still a long way off, his father saw him and, filled with compassion, ran to him, threw his arms around him, embraced him, and kissed him. And the son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' The father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. For this son of mine was dead, but now he is alive. This son of mine was lost, but now he is found.' And they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older brother was in the field, and he came to the house, and he heard the singing and the music, and he called one of the servants to him and said to the servant, 'What is going on?' And the servant explained, 'Your brother has returned home, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he is home safe and sound.' However, the older brother became angry and he refused to go inside. So his father came outside and pleaded with him. But the older brother said, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and I have never disobeyed you. And you haven't even given me a young goat so that I can celebrate with my friends. And then this son of yours comes home who has squandered your property on prostitutes, and you kill the fattened calf for him?" The father replied, "Son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we must celebrate, because your brother was dead, but now he is alive. Your brother is lost, was lost, but now he is found." Friends, that's the story from Luke chapter 15. Now let me pray again and let's try and understand more of this story. Father, we again thank you for your scripture, and we thank you that all scripture is God-breathed. Father, we thank you for this story that we've just heard from your word, and please help us to understand it better now and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three stories. The first two were read to us, and I just told you the third one then. And these three stories have three things in common. Something is lost, something is found, and then there's a celebration. So in the first story, there is a man who has 100 sheep, and he loses a sheep. But he does not give it up as lost. He searches for this sheep, he finds the sheep, he puts it on his shoulders, he comes home, he calls his friends and his neighbors, and he celebrates. He has found his lost sheep. Then in the second story, or in Luke 15, there is a lady who loses a coin. But she searches for it. She sweeps the whole house. She turns on the light. She finds the coin. Then she calls her neighbors and her friends, and she celebrates. She has found her lost coin. And then we get to the third story. Somebody is lost. He is found. And there's a celebration. Each of these three stories have three things in common. Something is lost, something is found, and there's a celebration. But there's also something unique about this third story as well. There's the older brother, isn't there? That's what's a bit unique and different about the third story. And it's the third story that we're going to focus on this morning. Now, I want to say this about the third story, and I'm not the first person to say this, so this is not my original idea, but I agree with this, is that the title in your Bible that's been translated as the prodigal son, that's actually a really unhelpful heading for this story. Because in this story, there is not one lost son, is there? There is two lost sons. So really a more helpful title for this story would be The Two Lost Sons. So that's the big idea that I'm going with today as we look at to try and understand more of this story. There are two lost sons. Both brothers are wrong. Both brothers are lost. Let's first of all think about the younger brother. Now, what did the younger brother want most in his life? Well, he didn't want the father. He just wanted the father's stuff. He wanted to be in control. He wanted to have the power. He wanted to do what he wanted with his share of the money. He didn't want the father. He just wanted the father's stuff. He wanted to be able to make his own decisions. And he did an incredible, bold power play to get what he wanted, didn't he? What about the older brother? Well, the older brother is lost as well. It's just actually a little bit more hidden at first. He is just as disrespectful to the father at the end of the story. He also wanted the father's stuff, but not the father. You see, the younger son got what he wanted and then went far away from his father, didn't he? Well, the older brother, he stayed close to the father to get what he wanted. He said, "I have never disobeyed." Now his obedience was simply to get what he wanted. It was his way of getting control. "I have never disobeyed you," he said to his father. What he's really saying is, "I've done all this stuff and you owe me." That's the kind of relationship that he has with his father. "I've never disobeyed, so that means that you owe me." So you're beginning to see that there's actually two lost sons in this story, isn't there? Both want the father's stuff. Both don't want the father. One goes far away. One stays close. But in the end, their heart is both revealing the same thing. Now, also want to encourage you today, as we think about this passage, to not have an older brother attitude towards this passage or towards any of the scripture. And I know I can sometimes do this. You hear a Bible passage read in church and you think, "I've heard this before. I know this story. I know how it ends." Now, it's very easy to have an older brother attitude towards the scripture, as if you already know it. And I thought I knew this story at the start of the week as well. Now, but I want to encourage you to have an open mind, an open heart today as we look deeper at this story. And I was also thinking this week as well about my own story and how I was once a bit like the younger son. But when I was 18 years old, God helped me to follow Jesus. And now I've been a Christian for some time. And when you've been a Christian for some time, it can be sometimes easy to fall into the trap of being a bit like the older brother. To be focused on the rules and not on the grace of God. So again, there's two lost brothers in this story. They both resented the father's authority. They both wanted to get in a position of power so that they could have control. One rebelled by being extremely bad, and the other rebelled by being extremely good. But in the end, they are both alienated. They are both lost. They are both separated from their father. Neither actually wanted the father for themselves. Again, simply wanted his stuff. They were both very self-centered. But what is most extraordinary and most shocking in this story, and I think the thing that should stand out the most, is that you can be good and still be separated from God. The older brother said, "I have never disobeyed you." But he is still separated from the father who represents God in this passage. Now we all know how bad people can be separated from God. But what's extraordinary in this story, we see that good people can be separated from God as well. And it teaches us a deeper reality of sin. You see, sin is not just something on the outside, is it? That we can see evidently in the younger brother. No, sin is something on the inside as well, isn't it? And the older brother's sin was pride. Pride in his own moral conduct. It was his righteousness that was keeping him, his own self-righteousness that was keeping him separated from his father. It's a shocking thing in this story. And it would have shocked those who first heard it. Now let me give you another story, another illustration to help show this. Now this is a story about a farmer. Now this farmer grew the largest potato that he had ever seen in his life. It was massive, it was like a watermelon. He said, "This is the best potato that I've ever seen. This is a fantastic potato. What am I going to do with it? I know what I will do. I will take it to the king and I will give it to the king as a gift." And so he took his potato and he went to the king and he presented his potato to the king. And the king said, "Wow, what a fantastic potato. Thank you very much." And the king happily received the potato. And then the king said, "You know what? You seem like an excellent father. You seem like an excellent farmer. I'm going to put you in charge of my garden as well." The farmer, well, he went home ecstatic. Now, a royal advisor was standing near the king, and he heard what was going on. And he thought, if he gets the king's garden for giving the king a potato, I wonder what I could get if I give the king something. So the very next day, this advisor got his best horse and took it to the king. It was his stallion. He gave it to the king. The king said, "Thank you very much," and nothing happened. So why did nothing happen? Well, the king could see through each man's heart. You see, the younger, or the farmer, it was a genuine gift, wasn't it? He wasn't expecting anything in return. He honoured and respected the king and simply wanted to give the king a gift. Where the advisor, well, it was all about him, wasn't it? It was about what he could get from the king. He didn't care for the king at all. It's just what he could get from the king. He didn't want the king. He just wanted the king's stuff. And the older brother in this story is a lot like that advisor. So let's now look at this passage, this story, in a bit more detail. If you have your Bibles open, from Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Actually, we'll start at verse 1. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Now, verse 1 sets the context, the very important context for this story. It says this: "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" What is the context, the background of these stories that Jesus tells? Well, the background is that Jesus is eating with tax collectors and sinners. Let's say that Jesus is eating with younger brother type of people. And the Pharisees, who are like the older brother in this story. They are angry. They are angry that Jesus is eating with tax collectors and sinners. They are angry that God is showing grace to tax collectors and sinners. So in response, Jesus tells these three stories. And so we get to verse 11 in the third story. There was a man who had two sons. And the younger son said to his father, please, he didn't say please, he said, give me my share of the estate. Now this is an extremely offensive thing to do. He's asking his dad for the inheritance whilst his dad is still alive. He's saying to his dad, you're as good as dead to me. I just want your money. Now, I was trying to think of an Aussie example of this. The son goes to the father and says, Dad, I want your inheritance. You know, the Aussie dad would say, get lost, son, to put it politely. But in a Middle Eastern culture, in Jesus' time, for a son to ask this kind of question, he would be disowned from the family. He would no longer be a son. For simply asking this question, he is out. And the Pharisees would be thinking, Jesus is going to give this kind of response. This younger son is going to get it. But the father in this story that Jesus tells is very different. The father divides his property between the two sons. Now we all know what the son does next. He gets together all his things and he sets off for a distant country and he squanders all his wealth on wild living and then he has nothing. And there is a famine. He sells himself as a worker and he is sent to feed the pigs. And whilst he's longing for the pig food, he comes to his senses. He repents. He decides to turn around and go back to his father. Now, what is most extraordinary is how the father responds to this younger son. He sees him at a distance. And filled with compassion, he runs to his son. Now again, in this culture, the father is going against the cultural norms. Fathers don't run to people. People come to them. And the fact that he's running, fathers again don't run. People come to them. For this father to run, he would have been wearing robes. He would have had to lift up his robes and bare his legs. Been embarrassing for a father to do in this culture, and run to his son. Essentially, this father, he is bearing all. He is bearing his soul. This is a very different father in this story. He embraces him, he kisses him, and he treats him like royalty. He says, bring the best robe to his servants. The best robe is probably his robe. He puts the robe on him, puts a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, kills the fattened calf. Why does he do it? Because the son was dead, but now he is alive. He is lost, but now he is found. And they begin to celebrate. And we need to pause here and go, wow, what a great father this is. And we need to remind ourselves that this is the father that we worship here in church today. This is the God we worship. We worship this father. When we repent, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. And one day we will be eating at his royal table as well. What a great father this is. But there's some other things to think about from this part of the story as well. And a point that I want to make here is that from this story, we cannot assume that all sinners are forgiven. Sin, forgiveness is available to everyone, but not all sinners are forgiven. It's available to everyone, but. And the way this younger son receives the father's forgiveness is that he turns and repents. And then he receives that forgiveness which is available to him. And that's how we too receive God's forgiveness as well. We need to turn and repent to receive God's forgiveness. Repentance is the key here. And you also notice in this story that the father does not chase after the son. In the other two stories that were told, the person searches for the sheep, they search for the coin, but the father here doesn't search for the son. He pretty much goes, okay, son, if that's what you want, you're going to have to learn the hard way. And he lets him go. But as soon as he sees the son coming back from a distance, he runs to him, he embraces him, he kisses him, treats him like royalty. Now, that's what the father does in this passage. And so that's the younger son. And now we get to the older brother. The older brother, he's in the field doing his duty. He's working. He comes to the house. He hears the music. He hears the singing. He calls out one of the servants, says, "What is going on?" The servant explains, "The son is home safe and sound. Your brother has returned. Your father's killed the fattened calf. We're celebrating." The older brother, he is angry. I never really noticed that before in this passage. The older brother, he is angry, the passage says. And he refused to go inside. But the father shows this son the same grace that he showed the younger son. The father goes outside to the son. He pleads with him to come inside. But now the older son's true heart and true motive is revealed. And he is extremely disrespectful to his father. This is what he says. He says, "Look." When he says the word "look," he might as well be saying, "Hey you, listen you. All these years, I've served you, and I haven't disobeyed a single command that you have given. And you haven't even given me a young goat so that I can celebrate with my friends." We see here again that the older brother, he doesn't want the dad. He just wants his stuff. He just wants his stuff. Sorry, I've just lost my notes. He's disrespectful to his father. But you also notice how he disowns his own brother as well. He doesn't even say, "My brother." He says, "This son of yours." He's not even calling him brother anymore. And I think what would really be getting this older brother angry is that now the other son is home. Do you know what that means? It means he's back in the inheritance. It means it's less for him as well. And what the older brother doesn't understand, that grace is costly. The father, he understands the cost of grace. But the older brother, he doesn't get that grace is costly. And so the father replies, "My son, you have always been with me. And everything I have is yours." Everything I have is yours, literally, it's yours. "But we have to celebrate because this brother of yours was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he is found." And that is the story of the two lost brothers. So what do we make of all this? Well, in summary, what we see here is both brothers are the same, yet different. Both brothers are the same in that they both wanted the father's stuff. But they are different because one repents and the other does not. And again, this story shows us, amazingly and surprisingly and shockingly, that you can be good and still be separated from God. You can be good but still be separated from God. The older brother's relationship with God is a bit like a business relationship with God. I've done my duty. It's very dangerous to have a business-like relationship with God. You come to church, you do the Christian thing throughout the week, and that means God owes you, doesn't he? God needs to keep his end of the deal. That's to have a business-like relationship with God. It's not a real relationship with God. And the story ends like this. The one who was on the outside, he is now on the inside at the party. And the one who was on the inside is now on the outside, full of pride and stubbornness and unrepentance. And so what are three things we can take home from this story today? Well, three things. Number one, there is more than one way to be lost. We all know that we can be lost from wild living. But we can also see in this story that you can be lost by having a business-like relationship with God as well. By coming to church, by doing the Christian thing during the week, but not actually having a real relationship with God. And at the heart of this story is to have a real relationship with God. Wanting the Father and not just the Father's stuff. And this means God is more than just your friend. Because even with friends, you can drift in and out of friendships, can't you? God needs to be our lover. The Bible says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself." The Bible actually talks about our relationship with Jesus like a wedding. Jesus is the groom, and us, his church, is his bride. It's a love, love, love relationship. So there is more than one way to be lost. So we need to be aware of that in this story. We haven't done this story justice if we just finish with the first son. The second thing is this. Both brothers are wrong. Both brothers are lost. But both brothers are loved. God loves the tax collector, the younger brother in this story. God loves the Pharisee, the older brother in this story. He loves them both and gives them both an opportunity to repent. And spiritually speaking, in the church, younger brothers should not despise their older brothers. And older brothers, we should not look down on our younger brothers. We should all be repentant where we need to be repentant and shower one another with God's grace and love. Both are wrong. Both are lost, but both are loved. And the third thing to take home is this, to put in your suitcase. What an older brother we have in Jesus. We know how great the Father is in this passage. But what an older brother we have in Jesus as well. In Hebrews chapter 2, we're reminded that Jesus is our true and perfect older brother. And I've been thankful to God every day this week that Jesus is not like the older brother in this story. In fact, Jesus is the complete opposite of the older brother in this story. Jesus, he's obedient to God. Not out of duty so he can get stuff from God, but he's obedient to God to bring glory to God. And he's obedient to God so that sinners like you and me can be saved and brought into God's family forever and ever and ever. Amen.